KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies, some light rain or sprinkles. It's 33 degrees, just above the freezing mark, and we look for cloudy skies with light rain and windy conditions today, a high around 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Roads around the listing area are in normal driving condition. That's because the surface temperatures are basically above the freezing mark, but of course, watch out for those bridges and overpasses where there is no ground beneath them. They will become slick this morning if they haven't already. Well, topping Iowa news, a crash in southern Iowa's Clark County Thursday morning claimed the life of a teenager from Osceola. The Iowa State Patrol reports the crash happened on Highway 34 at around 8:10 a.m. Thursday. Authorities said a 1989 Chevy pickup driven by 21-year-old Austin West of Osceola was traveling westbound on Highway 34 and had stopped to yield oncoming traffic before turning into a residential driveway. When he stopped, 2001 Chevy Lumina driven by 15-year-old Madison McKenna Cook of Osceola struck the back of the pickup. Her car was then hit broadside by a 2011 International Semi driven by 36-year-old Thaddeus Fry of Hooper, Nebraska. Fry and West were not injured in the crash. Madison Cook, who was wearing her seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the Clark County Hospital. The Creston Police Department reports this morning that Tyler White of Creston was arrested recently near Green Valley Lake for driving while suspended. White was being held in the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. And a Creston resident reported to police Thursday evening that someone had used his debit card without authorization. The loss was estimated at $700. A traffic stop at around 2:20 a.m. on Thursday resulted in the arrest on drug charges of a man from Nebraska. The Mills County Sheriff's Office says the Sheriff's K-9 unit assisted a Mills County deputy during the stop on Interstate 29. Near mile marker 32. Upon further investigation, about 2 ounces of cocaine was found in the vehicle. The driver, 37-year-old Justin Allen Marsh of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, was arrested for OWI first offense, possession with the intent to deliver cocaine, and failure to affix a drug tax stamp. Along with the cocaine, just over $1,000 in U.S. currency was seized, along with a 2013 Chevy Cruze. Marsh was being held in the Mills County Jail on $56,000 bond. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office Thursday released a lengthy report on arrests that dated back to February 23rd. More recently, those arrested on Wednesday, March 15th, include 60-year-old Leanne Blackwell of Harlan on charges of a controlled substance violation, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, prohibited acts, possession of drug paraphernalia, and gathering where controlled substances are unlawfully used. Blackwell was transported to the Shelby County Jail and held without bond. Later that morning, Blackwell had initial appearance with a magistrate and was held under a $50,000 bond. And 36-year-old Christina Marie Namani of Harlan was charged on the 15th with gathering where controlled substances are unlawfully used. She was being held under a $5,000 bond. On Wednesday, 34-year-old Cortana Fernando Gonzalez Antonio of Denison was arrested in Shelby County following a traffic stop on his motorcycle. Antonio was arrested for driving under suspension and brought to the Shelby County Jail, where he was booked in and then released after posting a $566 cash bond. Arrested Monday by Shelby County deputies was 48-year-old Anthony Elwood Rickle of Harlan, who was taken into custody on an outstanding warrant. Rickle was being held in the Shelby County Jail on a $6,500 bond for probation revocation charge out of Marion County. He was then released to Marion County deputies later that same evening. Two people were arrested last Friday in Shelby County. 38-year-old Terry Lynn Peterson of Harlan was charged with domestic abuse assault and transferred to the Shelby County Jail, where he was later released on $300 bond. And that same day, 38-year-old Shelley Marie Hulspeth of Harlan was arrested on an active warrant for failure to appear in court. Hulspeth was held under a $1,000 cash-only bond until being released last Saturday on her own recognizance. There are numerous other arrests, and you can view those names and what they were arrested for under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. A Northwest Iowa man arrested after explosives were found on his property has been given 10 years in prison. 33-year-old Brett Souser of Anthem was sentenced on Thursday. He pleaded guilty to an explosives permit violation and the possession of a controlled substance. Prosecutors dropped four more explosive counts in exchange for Souser's plea. Souser was arrested January 9th of last year after explosives and bond-making items were found on his property following a fire that damaged his garage. A Sioux City man accused of helping to kill a Nebraska man has been given another starting date for his murder trial. 30-year-old Daniel Levering has pleaded not guilty to the July 23rd slaying of 36-year-old Vincent Walker, who lived in Winnebago, Nebraska. The new date for his murder trial will be July 17th in Woodbury County District Court. Police say that Rocker was washing his car, that is, when he was confronted by three people. Police say the group then assaulted him, with one stabbing him and another hitting him repeatedly with a baseball bat. Walker later died at a Sioux City hospital. Authorities have not reported the arrests of the two other suspects. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency yesterday was asking area fire departments and businesses in the county to please keep your local fire danger signs in the moderate category through this weekend. Precipitation, of course, is occurring today, and that was expected, but any sunshine and wind, they say, will quickly dry the dead vegetation. Fire trucks and larger vehicles are not able to get into many fields this time of year due to the soft conditions as the frost begins to leave the ground. So they encourage you to use caution and plan your burn before striking your match. Well, Practical Farmers of Iowa, or PFI, is once again working with experienced farmers across the state to offer aspiring farmers on-farm job opportunities through the Labor for Learning program. And for the 2018 season, 14 experienced farmers from around the state have signed on to hire an employee through the program and to provide additional training on topics critical to successfully running a farm business. To qualify as a trainee, applicants must have a strong desire to learn, apply to, and be hired by a trainer farm, and be or become a member of the Practical Farmers of Iowa. Locally, the 2018 Labor for Learning Farms include Dale and Marcy Rash, Bridgewater Farm in Adair County. They have certified organic vegetables and fruits, hay, cattle, hogs, broilers, and laying hens. Denise O'Brien and Larry Harris of Rolling Acres Farms, in Cass County in Atlantic. They produce cover crops and poultry. And John Bakehouse, Maple Edge Farm in Mills County, the Hastings area, produces corn, soy, alfalfa, beef, cattle, and pasture, along with small grains. Officials at PFI say that having sufficient on-farm work experience is vital to the success of new farmers just starting on their own. Most on-farm employment opportunities, however, are limited in scope and don't expose employees to the full range of skills they need to be successful. Now entering its sixth year, Practical Farmers Labor for Learning program helps to fill the need by connecting aspiring farmers seeking paid on-farm training with experienced farmers looking for eager employees. In addition to their normal job responsibilities, those in the program receive training on topics such as record keeping, marketing, and other skills that are important for running a farm business. At the start of their employment, the trainer and trainee agree on a set of learning outcomes to address during the course of employment beyond the normal job-related work activities. Complete job descriptions and program details can be found at practicalfarmers.org/labor, the number 4, and then learning. Leaders of some Missouri river towns are angered by and confused by this week's federal court ruling saying the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was responsible for damage from repeated flooding. The case singled out 5 years over the past decade for which the Corps was liable, but did not include the 2011 flood. Donna Forker, Sioux City's finance director, says 2011 is when the city was hit with the greatest flood expenses. And she says that they spent about $3.3 million with prevention, recovery, and cleanup. FEMA and the Iowa Department of Emergency Management have provided funds to offset some of that, according to Forker. The case covered claims from about more than 370 farmers, landowners, and businesses in Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. The judge's ruling said the government must compensate the plaintiffs for damages which could exceed $300 million, and the Sioux City Administrator Lance Hedquist doubts that he will see any of that money, or his city will see any of that money, that is. He says, nothing that I know has come into the city from anything we've had indicated. And Hedquist says that it was an extremely strange ruling in terms of how they came up with some of the numbers in the past and then excluded the 2011 flood, which was the biggest flood. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments. They're located at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.